Well, good evening, everybody. So glad you can make it on this second midweek service of May 2019. Happy fourth or fifth day of the week. So good to have you with us and anyone listening to the recording. So glad you could join us. Well, tonight's opening song is Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. And for those who know it, please feel free to put your mic on. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins.
Amen. Sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can we do to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, brighter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins.
Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than.
Amen. Thank you, brethren. It's so good to be able to hear you singing back. Fantastic. I'm glad I picked the song that we all know, or some of us at least. Isn't that wonderful? marvelous grace indeed, greater than all our sin, when we think how many there is, how many people there is. Just marvelous. Fantastic. So glad we could sing it together. Well, it's time for, oh, welcome to everyone coming into the room. So good to see you all. It's now time to open with prayer. Would someone like to open that for us?
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you once again. It's Wednesday. It's time to meet to study your word and fellowship. And we thank you that we're able to do online with our friends around the world. We thank you for your goodness to us, for your protection, for your blessings. Help us to be thankful even for the things that seem small to us, because all good things come from thee. Bless us now as we get into the word. Give us good thoughts to share. Accompany us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you. Well, last time we were together, we had read how Felix was willing to show the Jews a pleasure, and so he left Paul bound. And then Felix's room is filled by Porcius Festus. I love their names. High priest and the high priest and the chief of the Jews, they inform against Paul. And they desire, of course, a favor against Paul, that he would grant them to send to Jerusalem. Little did he know, they had a band ready to kill him. But they all meet at Caesarea, praise the Lord, and Festus on the judgment seat hears the many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not actually prove, Luke says, possibly as an eyewitness. And then Paul tells the truth, and hence he ably defends himself in the process. And unfortunately, Festus, willing to favor the Jews, offers to send Paul to Jerusalem. But Paul, and perhaps we'll start at verse 10, Paul says this, "Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go." So we see here a willingness on Paul's part, as long as it's a just trial, I'm willing to die. He's telling a man who's got basically his life in his hands, but as Jesus once said, and on his own trial, that you wouldn't have the power had not heaven given you the opportunity or position to do the right or to do the wrong. Of course, heaven wants you to do the right. Unfortunately, Pilate did the wrong. And we see much a political pawn that Paul's being made out in the previous two trials with Lysias and Felix. I think it's interesting how Rome tolerated Christianity, because at first it was considered just another sect of Judaism. Phariseeism was considered a sect, so that was fine. Yep, okay. It's an accepted religion in the realm of Rome. But the Jews would hate that, because they wanted nothing of Jesus. They knew he was a Jew. They knew of him. They were the reason he died. They were the ones that delivered him up, the leaders, with them leading it. And here you have Paul in a situation where if he were to bring this to Rome's attention, Rome, the Jews are hoping they can conquer Christianity. And of course, at the same time, Paul could be hoping if he can just win this, Christianity might actually be accepted in its own right. That's quite a thought when we, as we lead up to where he's heading, which is Rome, next. Does anyone have any thoughts they'd like to add? Any comments? Any questions?
I get the idea here where Paul says, I appeal unto Caesar, that he felt that he wasn't going to get a fair hearing there with Festus wanting to basically have him go to Jerusalem to please the Jews. And so Paul felt his back was in the corner and he had to apply to the Supreme Court, you know, is what we would look at today. But, you know, Paul had to be pretty desperate because Caesar was an ungodly ruler. Why would you want to go be judged by a pawn of Satan? I mean, but that's, you know, he felt that it wasn't going to go in his favor in this particular lower court. So he wanted to go to the higher court. And of course that would be Rome. And so that would go right along with what Christ had mentioned to him in that very touching and compassionate revealing to Paul there. So I just felt that Paul was sort of between a rock and a hard place, and this was about the only way he could try to get out of that situation.
Amen. Thank you, dear bro. Amen. I mean, and at this time, who was the emperor? It was Nero. So he's said to be one of the worst that you could expect any help from. But that just goes to show, as you're bringing out, Bob, is that's how desperate he was. He knew the Jews wanted his blood. There's no way they would give him justice and mercy in Jerusalem. And he said, and he uses his Roman citizenship. Praise the Lord. And it's such a shame that these individuals that had the power in Rome, they went to a certain distance to get justice for Paul, but, you know, they could have released him like that once they knew, oh, straight away, no, this doesn't hurt, willing to make the Jews a favor. It stopped them from fulfilling justice. Well, would someone like to read verses 12? I'll tick it if I can. Read verses 13 to 16.
And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. When they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him.
Thank you, dear bro. Isn't it marvelous? He's pointing out here, Festus is saying, as a Roman official, they weren't to give surrender a supposed accused person, they weren't allowed to take bribes, essentially. But of course we know that happened, but they weren't allowed to deliver someone for a favor. Because apparently that's a part of the official law. But we see Jesus, in case of Jesus, of course that wasn't followed. Pontius Pilate washed his hands of himself and stated that I'm not guilty, but, you know, at the same time, what he didn't say is that I want to keep my job and I'll let you do what you want to do, but I know he's guiltless. Festus has a better record than Pontius Pilate at this point. We'll find out where it leads from here. Does anyone have any anything they'd like to share on these verses before we continue? I think it's rather marvellous that Festus thought to share with the king, Paul, because he didn't technically have to, did he? But he does. And so now another opportunity of witness is given or afforded Paul, which is rather marvellous, because Agrippa is actually quite well known. He understands Judaism. He has the power of the treasury. He gets to choose the high priest. Festus knew this. And so, looking to him and hoping that he could give his understanding on this person's case, he could expand on it. Make sense of it.
Amen. And you know, that may have been the reason that Paul appealed to Caesar, is to buy himself more time. You know, because I'm sure Paul recognized he wasn't really going to get a fair hearing in Nero's court, but it bought him extra time. And he's able now to witness to more than just Festus and the Jews that were gathered there. But now he's got the king and Bernice. And who knows how many more in between.
Amen, brother. Would someone like to read the next following verses for us?
Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth. Against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive.
It's a very good, thank you, dear brother. I think it's marvelous how Festus does say it like that. I don't know if that's on purpose. It really sounds good. He acted without delay. And it was straight away. I just couldn't wait to give justice. But he actually does that quite a little bit in the following verses coming. One in particular that stands out. So marvelous this way. It's interesting to see the interaction of this procurator with the king. Agrippa, obviously, it's a hierarchy. So Agrippa's higher. And Agrippa, of course, is under the emperor. And you have Felix explaining what he believes is following Roman law to a T and sharing with him that I'm taking good care of it. And it's interesting he uses the term suspicion, verse 19. Now, that could be offensive to Agrippa because he knows Agrippa is Jewish to a certain extent. He's actually related. He has a father. I think it's the father's side. He's one of the last Herodian, in relation to, the Jewish line that occurred in their ancestral line. So you have him saying this, so obviously it can't mean he's trying to offend him or, you know, just, you know, religion. He's not, but he's come to this conclusion because he knows the Jews don't believe in this one Jesus and they're certainly about the dead. Well, he says Jesus has come back from it. And most people, when they've died, they don't actually do that.
And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved under the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. Amen.
Amen, sis. Thank you. It's interesting here how Hephaestus brings out why he's doing what he's doing in such a way that it sounds almost like he really does care about justice. Like, in reality, he could release Paul. He knew he did nothing wrong with Roman law, so although he's got the Jews' backup, there's nothing really, they can't find any fault with him, but he explains to his superior what he's going to do. It's lovely that Agrippa wants to hear from him. It sounds a lot like Herod the Great when Jesus, our Lord, when he gets, when Pilate says, finds out where Jesus is from. Oh, fantastic. I'll send you off to Herod. Now Herod wanted to see Jesus, and now he gets the opportunity. But he's not doing what he wants Jesus to do, and that is to perform miracles. And Herod really was happy to hear him. So this is going to be interesting what happens next. Is it going to be similar? Is it going to be much different? We'll find out. Is there any comments anyone would like to make before we continue? And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus's commandment, Paul was brought forth. Reminds me of Martin Luther later on in the years to come. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him. Now, let's just stop there. This is interesting. He says, but when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus. Now, if you found nothing worthy of death, why didn't you let him go? Oh, because you wanted a bribe. Okay, gotcha. That's what's left out. That would be a parenthesis. And that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I had no certain thing to write unto my Lord, wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and specially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. Wow. That would be a compliment to King Agrippa. And obviously Festus says, this is out of my realm. You can be able to help me, and especially write a letter that would make sense to the emperor. You sort of wonder, well, how's the emperor going to really understand it anyway, unless he's quite Jewish? But what's marvelous about the way, this is the last part of chapter 25, is whatever he writes, Agrippa essentially has a way of understanding how to reach Festus's mind if he's convinced of what Paul's saying, and also the emperor's mind, so both the Roman and the Jew. Paul also knows that, so whatever he says, he can reach out to the Roman mind and also to the Jewish mind that's not so biased towards seeing justice for Paul, because the Jews in general, well, he says the multitude of Jews just want to see him dead. Any thoughts, brethren, sisters? Any comments, questions before we continue?
to me, it shows just how much Satan desires to keep God's messengers locked away so their message can't get out. Here, you know, Lysias didn't have anything really to say about Paul, but he went ahead and sent him to Felix. And Felix really didn't have any reason to keep Paul in bound. There was no crimes that could be laid to his account, but he wanted money, and so he kept him for 2 years. Festus then didn't have anything that Paul was worthy to remain in prison, but he kept them there anyways. And Paul then had to appeal to Caesar. And so now there's no reason why Paul should be in prison, but technicalities. He appealed to Caesar, but there wasn't any crime that Caesar needed to hear and pass judgment on. So it's like these loopholes that are in the gray areas, per se, that are keeping Paul in prison. And it's all because the devil wanted him kept there. And we can expect the very same thing to happen today. No crimes worthy of imprisonment are going to be laid against the saints, but they're still going to be kept in prison, or some of them at least. And it's all going to be on technicalities. It's all going to be on loopholes or gray areas that keep them there. And it's because the devil doesn't want the message of the loud cry to get out.
Amen, bro. Very good point. Yeah, I mean, this is a book for today, isn't it? It's showing us what happens when the religious world, not liking what you're sharing based on their own book, which is the Old Testament there, but for us it's the New as well, the fulfillment of Jesus, you have a people who say, well, all the rest of us are keeping the way our forefathers ever had, according to their understanding of that. And then this little band of other keepers, the commandment keepers. Big problems there. And, you know, it just goes, Paul must have been beside himself. I mean, 2 years is a long time, isn't it, to be locked up. You know how active, we've read the book of Acts together for some time now, months, possibly more than a year or so. And we've looked at, I wasn't here when you first started the book, I think, but we've looked at how much action, the activity is constantly active. He says that he worked more than, he worked above even the apostles themselves, but he didn't give the glory to himself, but he said, because the grace of God was upon me more, that I might work more. And here he is, he's stopping, but he doesn't think, all my hopes lost. Oh, well, this is it. He was expecting it, wasn't he? It didn't get him by surprise as a Christian, because he'd already heard and seen, even been involved in being the reason why people were persecuted. And his heart must have just broke. He used to do that. He was doing that in the past. But now he was standing up for Christ, and he'd been doing it for possibly 30 years plus. And he's a happy prisoner. He's a happy evangelistic prisoner, as we'll find out in chapter 26. Is there anything else anyone would like to share before we continue?
The Bible text comes to mind, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Philippians, 1 Thessalonians 5:18.
Thank you for that text. I wonder if something like that comes to Paul's mind. Hey, I've just worked out a way not to have to shift the ticks. I could just leave them there. Fantastic. Anything for a shortcut. Would someone like to read verses 1-3?
Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak of thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently.
Thank you, dear bro. Amen. This is marvelous. Praise the Lord, he's allowed to speak. And notice how Paul, he's calm. He's not agitated like his adversaries are. His adversaries are essentially God's adversaries first. They're being misled by the devil, but they think they're serving God and doing the right thing, speaking someone's blood. But Paul is quite calm and happy to get the attention of everyone. He tells him he's happy and so glad the more because the justice might pass now, because someone that understands not only the Jewish system, but in light of Roman law and the position that he holds, he can be a good influence on Felix. He wouldn't have to bother about Festus so much, but Felix, essentially the one he's with right now. And of course to the emperor. Does anyone have any thoughts? Anything they'd like to add? You can imagine where Paul can go now that he's got an opportunity. He's going to share the faith of these fathers, which happens to be, and the Jews knew this, a Messiah, one that conquers, one that rules in righteousness. But the part the Jews missed out was the suffering part of the Messiah's work, the great sacrifice that would be made for sin. They left that part out. Isaiah 53 comes to mind, and Daniel chapter 9. I should imagine Paul would have to keep calm how excited he might be. It's kind of like having a great avenue before a whole multitude, because that's who he had in front of him, but they weren't just a multitude, they were leaders, they were men of position, men that could influence a lot, many people. It's good to hear you, Sister Sheila. Would you like to read the next scriptures, verses 4-8?
My mother blithe from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, known all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they will testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I live a Pharisee. And now I stand and I am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?
Thank you, dear sis. Thanks for persevering.
You're welcome.
Very good point, Paul. Paul is bringing out, why should it be strange if we got a Messiah and he dies for the sins of the world, that he should rise from the dead? One of the key texts is Psalm 16:10, written by David. You will not leave your Holy One, you will not let your Holy One see corruption when he dies. And it's marvelous. Can you imagine the emotion that Paul's going through as he's sharing this? Because a lot of the people know him that are in the audience. And we're not told. They don't seem to be saying anything, but they could essentially agree with him. They weren't denying it, that he is what he's saying. He's telling the truth. This is something you do in the court of law today. They ask you simple questions and what you look like and how you sound when you're asked, what is your name? And you say, when were you born? Well, they probably don't ask that, but they ask other questions, simple questions to get to see what the truth looks like as best as able. And Paul gives out, well, this is where I come from. And actually, everyone, it's not my testimony alone. Everyone could acknowledge what I'm saying. Like, take two or three witnesses, whatever you need. And I have nothing to hide. This is the God of my father's belief about the Savior coming to die for the sins of the world, the Savior of the world, not just of the Jews. Of course, this is hard for the Jews to accept because they were quite racist. Now, if they'd read their Bible, they'd know there was only one race. Just one. Only one race. All come from Adam and Eve. All come from, Noah's three sons after the flood. Any thoughts? Any, comments? Before we open it up to a season of prayer?
I think Paul's ability to remain calm amidst the turmoil going on there is because he had the truth in his heart. And he knew that he was following the truth. So irregardless of how much turmoil or strife may be around him, he's got that internal peace of Christ because he knows he's following the light of truth, the light of life. And we need to have that same truth, that Jesus in our hearts. And we'll also have that peace that passeth understanding and be able to talk, you know, to judges and kings and rulers and presidents even, if God so wills it.
You know, Paul into himself, well, I'm in the same predicament that I put a lot of the Christian Jews in before I accepted Christ. I mean, he dragged them up there, and they probably had kangaroo trials at least, and he might have thought to himself, boy, if I get in front of the Jews, I know what I'm going to get because I know what I gave. So maybe that's part of the reason he decided to go to an outside court, outside of his nation.
Amen, brethren. There seems to be so much negativity towards Judaism in this century that we're looking at. It's never seen positively. I mean, there seems to have always been uprising. There was Thutis and Judas as well, Gamaliel mentioned. There's people claiming to be the Messiah, but he wasn't allowed to die. That was against law. So they thought. It's, yeah, good point, Brother Bob, as well. It's marvelous how the power that the truth can have on you before anyone and everyone, before people. I mean, Paul was before people that now he repudiates. He's disgusted at the life he once had. But he knows he's before people that knew he used to love it. He really thought, he believed just like they did. No doubt this might have added to his testament. He was just like them. And so his heart broke because they were just like him in his unconverted state. And they were trying to get salvation by themselves, all by themselves. And the idea of hearing the truth, because he's telling the truth thus far. It's only when he starts talking about the fact that the resurrection and the Messiah and that the second coming is what you've got it mixed up with, that he's to rule the whole world. He's coming back as a conqueror. They just couldn't see it. And, you know, as you shared, Brother Bob, the same thing's for us, isn't it? We can all give testimonies about us sharing the truth with all kinds of people. And Who knows? Maybe one day it could be before multitudes. Maybe you've already had that experience. We know brethren and sisters in other parts of the world, not excluding America, and some of us here have had an opportunity to share it before a multitude. And even if it's not at the same time, it's a multitude eventually, whatever form of evangelism you take. And it's just marvelous when you know you've got the truth. Because I find most people seem to think, I've noticed a lot of people get upset only when you say the things that Paul was sharing, righteousness, the judgment to come, because most people, the natural heart says, judgment to come. I mean, who's God to judge me, you know, if he exists, that sort of thing. And righteousness, well, who is anyone to tell us what's perfect, what's right? Nobody's perfect. And the idea of finding out what sin is also a mystery, because we don't know what is righteousness because no one is righteous. So there's this circular reasoning that it's impossible because that person's a sinner, then obviously everyone is, and if everyone is, well, then no one has the plan of salvation. And that's why you say God sent his son. So that means he had to come from somewhere, not from this world. He had to come from some other world, if you will. But, it's marvelous. I think there's nothing greater that you and I have is having the truth in our heart and knowing God knows what you know that not necessarily others know until you share it with them. And even then, they can't read your heart. So having a conscience freed or void of offense toward God first and toward man is no doubt one of the secrets to Paul's success. Well, we'll leave that there. Is there any questions, comments, anything anyone would like to share before we open it to a season of prayer? Please feel free to do so.
I just want to say one thing. I know now in these times that we really, really, really need to hold on to God, because more and more people do not believe the saying of the Bible that Christ is coming. I mean, they always say, oh, the Bible said that he's coming, but he haven't been here yet. And there's a lot of doctrines that saying things like that. So as we, as, you know, Christians, we just have to hold on to God, the truth, like what Brother Bob says.
Amen, dear sis. So good to see you and hear you. Good point, sis. You made me think of inspired comment, 2 Peter chapter 3. He says that knowing this first to us, that there shall come in the last days, are we in the last day? Scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, at least they give the creation part. I mean, they don't even do that today. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And I love this quotation that comes after, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. When people share, why is all this suffering? That how can he be a God of love? Well, one reason given here, the long suffering, that we should accept the truth. But, you know, the idea, logically, if we were to look at it, if there's evil taking place, when someone does evil to us, does wrong to us, do we then all of a sudden say, oh, that person doesn't exist? Now, I'm not saying God does evil, but that logic that if evil exists, that therefore means that that doesn't exist, or the person, the being that's created, that's made life possible, as if it's somehow his fault, all because he gave us freedom of choice. And praise the Lord. And you, there's no such thing as freedom of choice if you can't sin. If you can't sin, there's not freedom of choice. Is that true, brother? If I can't do the wrong thing, then I am a robot, essentially. I'm not choosing it from an intelligent understanding. Thank you for bringing that out, Sister Sheila. Is there any other, anything anyone would like to share before we pray? Well, okay. Why don't we have a season of prayer? I'll go first, open up. I would love for you to keep my sister Serena in prayer. She's had her appendix removed. But it's all gone well. I praise God. I just learnt that yesterday, but hope of recovery. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to communicate to one another ideas, thoughts that the Word of God has to us in our own mother tongue and convicts us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for continuing this work in our life, because you're preparing us for greater things than we've experienced in the past. And thank you, Jesus, that as we go forward in faith, we don't have to go to Jerusalem where you once walked. We just have to walk in the light as you are in the light to have this fellowship. Because we could be in Jerusalem, we can be in Capernaum and not follow the light, and you would be the furthest away you've ever been if we don't walk in the light. Thank you for precious light. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit, that power of the presence of your angels working on behalf of your children, working on behalf of the great multitude which your servant Paul was witnessing to, where there were more against the truth that one could see, but unseen, there was an army in the room. The presence of God was there, protecting his servants and making it possible for a testimony. And Psalm 50:15 was fulfilled. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and ye shall glorify me. Thank you for fulfilling that for him and for us. Pray our experiences deepen and appreciate being made familiar, because what we're entering upon now, there have already been individuals who have been hurt for their faith many times. Thank you for giving them the power to stand up for the truth. Thank you for witnessing to us by their testimony, from the scriptures, the spirit of prophecy, and onward. I want to uphold my dear sister Serena at this time, that her recovery, her removal from the hospital will be just when she needs it most, that she'll be calm and get through this ordeal. She's not a stranger to the hospital, and we pray her health will recover, her overall health. She is very, you know everything about her, and she is health conscious, and I'm so glad she's open to this, and please continue to help her see that that's not all she needs, that there's a soul that needs to be fed, there's soul food she needs to eat, And unless she gets that, she's not going to have anything for herself, nor for her children to give, nor her husband, Brian, that they might see the privilege of being a Christian, a faithful Christian, standing up for the Word of God because it is the Word of God. Also uphold the dear, some of the grey family members who are becoming trilinguists, learning three languages. So glad to hear that's a big achievement. It's a big work before them. Thank you for giving them the power to do this. Please continue with them and any other brother or sister that's studying to pass an assessment, to pass, to get a degree, to whatever it is that they're studying, we're all studying really, aren't we? We're all wanting to understand the Bible history. We want to follow the Bible more closely. We don't want to say we know everything. We certainly don't claim to have an eidetic memory and spirit. I thank you in many ways that we don't. So that we might rely on you to give us the victory, not on ourselves. Which would be a big temptation if we had, if all our needs in life were fulfilled day in, day out, human nature being what it is, we wouldn't even see a need for trusting you. We wouldn't even see a need for the Saviour. And I'm certain that this is part of the reason, a huge reason why in first world countries, there's so much unbelief, even in the Christendom. Help us. Be a part with you, Holy Spirit, to wake them up out of the sleep that's fallen upon them, to draw them out, to help them see that they're in Babylon, to help others who never claimed to be a Christian to see that they're either in Babylon anyway or they're Christ's. There's not three sides in the great controversy, and there never has been, and there never will be, and the privilege of them, to follow what's right, which anyone honestly would admit is found in Christ. They've got nothing to lose but except sin and everything to gain. Help us testify as Paul testified faithfully that though we can't cleanse ourselves, we can choose to be cleansed. We can choose to give you our sins and have faith that divine nature will be afforded us, work with us against our human nature so that we can be a perfect team individually as individual believers and collectively as your church, the pillar and ground of the truth on this earth. Thank you for your support and encouragement and fulfilling our silent prayer requests, intense prayer requests. Thank you for your infinite love. In Jesus we pray, amen.
Precious Father in heaven, we praise your holy name for being there for us through Jesus and at any time, in any situation. And we thank you for hearing and answering our prayers and petitions according to thy perfect will and timing. Thank you for hearing and answering the silent prayer requests as well as the spoken ones. And thank you for your love and compassion and indeed doing everything possible to lead people to the Savior and salvation. Thank you for the work that you've given each one of us to do that no one else but us can fulfill. And thank you for the grace and the strength and courage to fulfill our responsibilities, especially in uplifting the Savior and glorifying Him to others. And thank you for coming soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
The opportunity for shared fellowship, which means so much to all of us, but maybe especially to those of us in far-flung corners of the world we know you've said that whenever two or more of us are gathered together, your spirit will be with us, and we do believe this. But I think that for many of us, we gain added comfort from sharing this time with others of our faith as we spend this precious time together. Many times your word has of our Lord Jesus into all the world, which we endeavor to do in whatever way we can, but please help us to become more effective heralds of your truth, beginning with our own families, friends, workmates, or all those who are close to us. We know we are far from perfect, Lord. We are forever falling by the wayside and asking for your help to get us back up on our feet. But we do know that as long as we are truly repentant of our sins, they are never held against us, and we can always be at peace in your grace. Though you have showered us with your grace, please help us never to take this blessing for granted. Help us to be submissive always and ever resistant to the wiles of Satan. Please help us develop single-minded devotion to Christ so that we may always purify our hearts. And in conclusion, dear Lord, may we, by our radically altered lives, give a living testament to the power and the glory of the gospel. All this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, dear brethren and sisters. Thank you for joining us. I got a song that I want to share with you. Ah, there it is. Okay. Brother Bob, I saved all your hymns, and now I can't use my what it was saved on because I don't have Windows, the appropriate one. So apparently something ran out. Might have to update to Windows 10. Oh, that word is just still so bad coming out of my lips. Just Windows 10. Oh, wow. Scares me sometimes. But now, Lucy and I've got lots of data, so we're all good. Well, great is thy faithfulness. I remember Sister Lynn singing this. You know how when you hear a hymn and you keep thinking of one brother or a sister sung it online? Does that happen to you? It's good when you can do that when you're, whatever you're doing during the day. But this one I think about Sister Lynn singing it. But she's not with us now, but she's not dead. Praise the Lord, she's still with us. But if you know this song and you want to sing it, please feel free. I hope you can see it all right. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 years. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto
you. Amen.
Amen. It's a lovely song, and his faithfulness is never going to fail. It's just up to us to let him have his way with us. Hey, Brother Joel. Hey, I could see you better this week. Is your voice strong? Have you got a testimony to share with us? You got 1,000, haven't you? Does anyone have anything they'd like to share? What the Lord's been doing for them? Any songs? Any scripture songs? Requests?
Good morning. I forgot. I was sleeping and I thought it was still Wednesday. It's Thursday, so it's unfortunate that I came in late, but I always believe better late than never. It's unfortunate that we've been having tedious weeks past. I've been moving up and down, trying to make a few things work for us. Then, in the course of the week, the unfortunate news is that we lost our brother, Noah Balongoire. I think Brother Bob knows him very well. He's one of the people who started the separation movement here in Uganda many years passed, but he passed on. So he put his family in prayers. Then in a special way, I would like to thank Elder Bob and others for the great work they have done for us in Africa. I couldn't imagine that we were at this magnitude. When we were at the burial of our brother, all people assembled, and I saw very many brethren had taken long without meeting. You know, I'd expected to meet them in the conference, but the unfortunate side of it is that there is a wave of protesting going on in Africa, especially around our region. So it's causing us trouble for big meetings to be held. They put across many questions, many demands to fulfill. you need to specify the number of people you are going to host so that they monitor and they pretend to be giving you security. But in the due course, it's the fear of what you've heard, I can say, regime change. So we are working out modernity to see that we are safe. I put a few things in place, and I believe soon we shall be free and we shall be recognized to be free to do whatever we want with gospeling. And I printed some booklets and tracts, and when we missed the meeting, we diverted them and took them to Kavale and Uyikwe. So there has been some good work going on in Uyikwe. Uyikwe is some 50 kilometers from Kampala, and then Kavale is many miles from Kampala, about over 100 miles from Kampala. So some of the brethren took them to Kavale, and they are doing some good work there. Meanwhile, in Uyikwe, we got two converts who have accepted to put a Sabbath school in their home, which is very great for us, and we believe we are moving on very well. So, you see, our kind of prayer and request that you hold us in your prayers and you continue supporting us for the work that's going on in Africa. Isaac Osoro of Kenya was supposed to come here by this weekend, but I've stopped him. Only that the major reason why they're coming is to see that we put hands together. We put all faith together to see how we can move on. So Isaac Osoro was coming, Naftali was coming, and then I stopped them. Ivanis of Kisumu is coming, though he got a simple accident on a motorbike as he was moving. He also requests your prayer. But he will be soon with us to help us set many things right. I believe Bob has been to Africa, and Gary Kenny, James Snipes know what we are talking all about. But things are not so bad. By his grace, we shall move on. Thank you. I have said certain things work right, especially in the publishing ministry, because we believe when things go worse, we want to maintain the publishing ministry going, because the silent messenger could go and do many, a lot of work than we could do physically, even if when you are there or when you are not there. But we shall keep moving on, giving out our tracts, giving out our messages. So at least I've seen a move of unity taking on in our region. First we started in Kenya, and now it's here. So we believe we shall move on well. So thank you for listening to me. God bless you. We pray for you.
Thank you, dear brother. Always love an update. It's like having a newsletter in a digital format, in an audio format. So good to hear, and it's live. Nothing better than that. So glad you're okay, and your voice sounds strong and clear. Praise the Lord. You've got it back. I figured you probably lost it with all the talking you were probably doing, or, you know, maybe, you know, no speakers, maybe you got it. Maybe you were blessed miraculously. You could, you know, Sister White had that. She had many thousands she was talking to, and they didn't have a speaker system, and yet the people right at the end could hear her. And you think, well, hey, you know, that's got to be pretty good. It wasn't a special amphitheater made for that sort of thing. It was flat, as far as I'm aware. Just marvelous. But God, nothing too hard for the Lord, of course. Sometimes he uses the natural forces, or sometimes he intervenes through them with angels, etc. So glad to hear it was a success, bro. I think that's marvelous. You can have a meeting longer than a week. You know, I've seen camp meetings I've heard of camp meetings that happen in Australia, and usually they just go for 2-3 days. But I'm told generations before they used to have it up to 2 weeks. But of course, you're following that tradition, and I admire it, and I think it gives you a great opportunity to really encourage one another in the faith, because there's nothing better than having others share their experiences, whatever they might be, and to be an uplifting experience by, I mean, the only way I know that we can be uplifted is obviously centering our thoughts, our focus on Jesus, and giving him every sin we know of, faithfully. So thank you, brother. Look forward to reading it in the SR voice.
Yeah, glad to see you. Moses Mwewe sends you greetings. He has been in Chambogo. No, Chambogo is within Kampala. Just took about 3 to 4 kilometers of city center. And they were also having some good work there, evening preaching, and that was great. You know, Kampala is one of the restricted areas to do some work. But I thank God that the presidents are doing wonderfully there. Joseph Mulongo is based there. He helps them. But things are hard, especially towards meetings. But we find the room, they find the room to go to obstacles of the city to see that something small, something maybe great is being done. And we appreciate. We appreciate. That's why we are saying that the issue of printing messages on tracks will be taken a serious issue, because even if when they would not love to see your presence there, but you sneak and give one. You sneak, since the city is densely populated, then, and the people learn, they know how to read English. So you give, and the people here are receptive. Once you give something to read, somebody will just accept. Nothing like you have to make an appointment, just go, you move around. Even if the home is with a perimeter fence, at least there are some people around who pass and they are receptive, they accept the message. Then the Lord will work his own. For us, we don't want to force, but we give out and then they do their part. So Moses, Mwewe, and the others are doing great work here in the city, and we ideally appreciate the level of work that they are doing. Pray for them. Let's join hands so that we move on well, as we wait for the soon coming of our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen, dear bro. I think I can. I could see when I went to PNG, one thing they didn't have was literature, not freely available. And whatever you give out, hey, I don't know this, but maybe even if you gave bad stuff out, they probably would have taken it. But praise the Lord, they have the gospel there to give, and for free. Our brother over there, what's his name? Pastor Kay. He does a wonderful free literature like yourself ministry. Gives it away for free. Translates like you. Just marvelous. It thrills yourself. It really thrills us, doesn't it, as Christians, when we see a truth. We know it's the truth. We were sharing this earlier, Bob, before we started tonight, about when you just quote scripture, especially when someone's maybe they're Christians, they're certain about one particular point, but then you say, well, if that's the case, why does it say this? Why does it say that? And you have to answer, if you're honest with yourself, you have to find answers to those questions. You just don't go, maybe it wasn't inspired, or, maybe there's a mistranslation or something like that. We have to find the answers, and we can. Thank God we have the tool. Thank God we have Jesus on our side. Yeah. Well, is there anything, and we will indeed keep you in prayer, brother. I'm so glad it went ahead. I know you had over 200 brethren and sisters. It possibly might have been the biggest meeting you've ever had today. So really glad you could all make it, or at least most of you, together. Is there anything else anyone would like to share tonight before we close with our dear brother Dick with a special song for us all? Mm-hmm.
Brother Dick mentioned this. Is that a question, dear missionaries to Australia? He said, I don't think that it is time to leave the cities yet. I am sure I will have a, is someone questioned that? Oh, that is from Brother, is that from Brother Dick?
That was the response of some person, some SDA who was told the cities. They said, well, when it's time, I'll have a gut feeling and I'll know when it's time to get out. And if you wait for a gut feeling, probation may close on you. Speaking of tracts, literature. I got my little pamphlet printed. There's a fellow in the Carolinas that's printing 10,000 of these for me. I'm going to sell them to my zip code. And Joel, if you're interested in the content, all you got to do is change the name from America to Uganda. And if you like, I'll send you the file. I sent it to Willington, and he was happy to get it. Yeah, he said he printed. I think he has a printing press, and he would print it. But anyway, I asked for an advance copy, and they sent it to me. Shortly, they'll be mails at a cheaper rate than I can acquire by going to the post office.
Thank you. Thank you. You can send it a soft copy on my email so that I can pick it. Brother D, I think that will work better for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I can send you a digital copy. For those of you who might be interested, I had the chapter out of Great Controversy called The Aims of the Papacy. Is the first two-thirds of it. And the last third is the Jesuit Oath of Induction. And man, that is something. I don't think very many people know about that. So I'll send it to you and you determine how many copies you want to share with the neighbors. maybe Catholicism is not bothering Uganda. I don't know.
What are you asking? I've not heard. Yes, Brother Dick, can you repeat the question?
Oh, I said, I don't know if Catholicism is intruding in Uganda like it is America, but if so, this would wake somebody up.
Some extent, some levels of Catholicism, actually, when you read in Uganda, Catholicism is the largest community, then followed by Anglican, then Muslims, then others. So it will do a great work, especially we are going in a season where people flock from the region, South African region and beyond, to come and camp in Kampala for Catholics. They call it Martyrs Day. You know, when Christianity was coming to Uganda, they found some kings there who did not get well on with Christianity. So there was some murder of the first converts, and they have made it a memorial each year on the 3rd of every June. Many people gather, over 1 million people gather there. So if you send it faster, then I'll have time to print them out for giving out on those dates. That is June 3rd. So they camp there for 3 days, starting with June 1st, and then they end up with prayers on June 3rd. So we have a mass gathering in Kampala, within, it's just, again, 4 kilometers away from the city center, but people gather there, it becomes another city for 3 days. So we get opportunities to give out messages to people from Rwanda, Kenya, Tanzania, and beyond. So if you send me early, well and good. If I can get some fans around, I'll print enough copies to be given out. Good enough, our people are yearning to do the conversing work. Once messages are there on press, go out the other evening. Whenever they carry their bags, they put something there to share. Actually, a greeting becomes a preaching. That's the good thing of it. You move with some price in your bag, you reach friends, you remove one, you are reading as you give out others to read. So, to be great, to do a great work, since Catholicism is almost eating the whole world, according to the plans of the Pampas, and when such gatherings are, they extend their influence and it goes deep the people down. So we also use the very opportunity to push down to the ground. Those who have come, they go back with our messages. That would be great, Brother Lee. Let me pray funds to do some printing very fast. At least we shall have some printed, but we cannot have enough. We can print whatever we can. That would be great, dear brother.
Wow, that sounds exciting. And that booklet or that track that you just showed, Dick, very eye-catching. Sort of, what? You know, like the way it's worded, fantastic. You know, you don't have to say it, but and yet you know exactly what the message is. This is something I should read. And that's great. You can you've got the great controversy in there, and the Jesuit oath, deadly oath. Wow. Well, we will definitely keep these things in prayer. And so glad, Brother Dick, you've got this far. I'm looking forward to hearing anything that comes from it, or even if you don't hear from anyone, you know you've done a good job at someone, at least one person, realizing. See you, Sheila, sister. That's a good one. I love the hug. We will keep this in prayer. Look forward. All we can do is plant seeds. I think it's just marvelous how much freedom we still enjoy. And it's a constant reminder of, oh, I've got a work to do. I've got a work to do. I've got a work to do. It keeps ringing in my ears. And it's not my tinnitus, which I think I've got in my left ear. It's God, you know. He's ringing in your heart. There's something better than what the world's offering. You know, they used to say, I don't know if they say this in America or Africa or that, but they used to say, oh, get a life. I am so glad you can actually do that. That is just a saying in school, because in Jesus there is life and it's abundant and doesn't know an end. Even when you're dying and then you die, you've got hope that you come back alive. It's just marvelous. No one can crush it from us. Well, is there anything else before we have our dear brother Dick close off with a song? Please, feel free before we close tonight. Well, I thank God for your testimonies, and thank you, Sister Lucy. I thank God for you that you're online. Praise the Lord. And glad you're back in one piece, Brother Joel. Now, Brother Dick, would you like to send us off? Thank you all, brethren and sisters. Look forward to seeing you in just a little time. Won't be long. It'll be Sabbath. Big hug.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.